से भी कुछ ऐसे भक्त भी होते हैं जो
And there are some devotees who ask, who pray to the Supreme Lord for worldly things. They are better than other people because they have a relationship, they are getting a relationship with the Lord. They are good. But still, this is the Swarup of the living entities to love Krishna. So it's very important to hear who loved Krishna, how they loved Krishna, in what situation his love kept increasing, did not decrease. So all these are necessary, it is very necessary for us to hear all this. And all the lovers of Krishna, the best of all of them are the Gopikas. They gave up the their reputation, they gave up the teachings of the Vedas. They gave up their family, their bodily needs, their happiness. All this, they gave up all that to love Krishna. For this reason, the love of the gopis for Krishna is considered to be the topmost. This is almost all of the acharyas, they have agreed to this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's his siddhanta, how to worship Krishna. The highest, the most beautiful is the Vraj Vadhus. The lineage that has started shown by the gopis of Vrindavan, that is glorious. That is to be followed. That's Ramya. Ramya means where the mind can go and enjoy. This is the status of the gopis. Gopis are the topmost in all the Krishna premis. In this chapter, the love of the gopis towards Krishna, that is shown by Sukadev Goswami. So first of all, he is describing the waters and the air of Vrindavan. Text number one. Itham, the first word means itham in this, means in this way. It means that how it is described in the previous chapter, and this is continuation. In this way, as you have heard, Sarat, the fall season, Swachh Jalam. Vrindavan's water had become clear. Generally, in the rainy season, the water becomes muddy. Swachh, so su-ach. Ach means clean in its original form, and su means nice.
Achha
means good. When the water becomes muddy or dirty, it will not be called Swachh, and it will not be called Ach, and there is no question of calling it Suach, Swachh.
Suach ka atishay achha, Swachh.
Suach means very, very Ach.
तो वृंदावन के सरोवरों का जल स्वच्छ हो गया था, निर्मल हो गया था.
So Vrindavan's sarovar's water had become swachh, nirmal, very clean.
उन सरोवरों में कमल खिले हुए थे.
And those sarovars, the ponds, were filled with lotus flowers blooming. Lotus flower called padma.
इतने कमल खिले थे सरोवरों में कि लगते थे सरोवर ये केवल पद्म के आकर.
There were so many lotuses in the pond that the pond looked like there was no water in it. There was only covered with lotus flowers.
कलयुग तो इतने कमल खिलते हैं जल दिखाई नहीं देता.
Therefore the ponds were called Padmakar, full of padmas.
सुगंध से सुगंधित वायुना, वायु सुगंधित हो गया था.
That the breeze was fragrant of lotus flowers.
इतना वृक्ष है लेकिन कोई सुगंधित पुष्प नहीं है.
Here we have so many forests, so many trees, but there is no fragrant of flowers.
हवा में कोई सुगंध नहीं है.
In the breeze there is no fragrance.
इतने वृक्ष हैं लेकिन कोई सुगंध नहीं. परंतु भारतवर्ष में हम देखे हैं कभी कभी कोई पुष्प खिलता है तो उसकी सुगंध कुछ दूर तक जाती है.
But in India we see the when they are flowering, fragrant flowers, the breeze becomes very fragrant.
अभी भी.
Even today.
सुगंध बिखरती रहती है तो संपूर्ण ब्रजमंडल शरद काल में.
So the whole Braj Mandal in the fall season is full of lotus flowers and the fragrant breezes are flowing. Cool and fragrant and blowing gently. This is where the Supreme Lord performs his pastimes. When he performs his pastimes, the place where he performs is so beautiful.
संसार में सबसे महत्वपूर्ण है अनुकूल होना आवश्यक.
In this world, for anyone to perform their work, they need two things: water and breeze.
और इस समय अब तो मैं निगेटिव साइड भी थोड़ा बोलना चाहता हूँ. पूर्ण दूषित.
We are here. I'm going to speak a little bit negative. Although we are speaking here of Vrindavan, but the rest of the world, in the world today, the air and water, these two things are polluted. Here we see the water has become clear and clean in the autumn season, but these days nobody can drink water from the ponds or rivers.
भारतवर्ष में भी,
especially in India.
देख ही रहे हैं अब कई दिन का बासी, कई महीने का पैक किया हुआ जल.
You see how people drink many days old water, many months old water packed in the bottles.
सोचते हैं कि यही हमारे लिए अमृत.
And they think this is amrit for us.
बड़े गर्व के साथ.
And with great pride they drink.
इंडिया में तो कुछ लोग बोतल ले लेकर के दिखाते हैं कि हम धनी हैं, हम आइडेंटिटी वाटर नहीं पीते.
And some people in India they have these water bottles and they show, I drink this water, I don't drink ordinary water, I'm rich.
मिनरल वाटर पीते.
I drink mineral water.
मिनरल वाटर मिल रहा है वो तो सब जानते हैं.
You know what kind of mineral water it is.
मिनरल वाटर क्यों चल गया है कि और वाटर सब गायब हो, खराब हो गया.
Why mineral water has started? Because the other water, the real water, has finished.
है ना? पीने लायक जहाँ पानी नहीं है और सांस लेने लायक हवा नहीं.
When there is water is not drinkable and air is not breathable.
Pollution, air pollution.
pollution, air pollution. These words you don't see anywhere in the Vedic literatures.
Air pollution.
That air is
pradushan, jal pradushan. सब जगह सारा जगत प्रदूषित हो गया है. इसलिए हम लोग उस वृंदावन के कमल के सुगंध.
Therefore in this Vrindavan, where the water is transcendental, air, lotuses, flowers, everything is transcendental.
वायु दिव्य है. हम लोग प्रदूषित जगत में रहते रहते उसकी कल्पना नहीं कर पाएंगे.
Because we have lived so much in a polluted world, we cannot imagine how it can be like this.
अपने चित्त को बहुत ऊंचा उठाना पड़ता है इसको समझने के लिए.
To understand this, we have to raise our consciousness quite high.
जैसे मान लीजिए आज किसी का एडमिशन हो बच्चा क्लास में, तो बीए एमए या पीएचडी के बातों को एक आध बताया जाए तो कैसे समझे.
Suppose if a child is admitted to a school today, and if we tell him about BA, MA, PhD, how he'll understand? But to speak of those, even a few classes up, he won't understand. I asked the child, what class are you in? He said, he's in preschool. I've never heard preschool.
इस प्रकार के बच्चे को पीएचडी का कोर्स पढ़ाया
जाए. सो दिस काइंड ऑफ चाइल्ड, इफ यू टेल हिम अबाउट पीएचडी,
जगत में ही रहने वाला
जीव, हाउ विल अंडरस्टैंड. एंड दिस इज अ मटेरियल एग्जांपल.
वृक्ष का अनुभव करने वाला व्यक्ति अप्राकृत वृंदावन को कैसे समझ सकता है.
सो अ पर्सन हु हैज बीन इन दिस वर्ल्ड फॉर सो लॉन्ग, व्हेन वी टेल देम अबाउट द ट्रांसेंडेंटल ट्रीज, एयर, वाटर, हाउ ही विल अंडरस्टैंड what it is meant. Therefore in Srimad Bhagavatam, first 9 cantos are given. One should understand the 9 cantos nicely, then they can really understand the 10th canto. They will be qualified. Otherwise, even if we describe the Vrindavan Dham, they will think, oh, it must be something like where I live. Must be this kind of forest where I live, and the Lord must be running around in this kind of forest and grass with his cows. Actually, Vrindavan Dham is made from Krishna's Swarup Shakti, not Jar Shakti, not Maya. Air is very fragrant, the water is very clear. And the taste of it is how it should be. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am apsu. I am the taste in water. There is the most tastiest thing is water. There is nothing more tasty than water. If you are very thirsty, extremely thirsty, and in that very thirsty condition, if you get pure water in its as it is condition, at that time when you drink that water, the satisfaction you will get, the taste you will get, you will not get from eating or drinking anything else. If you were very thirsty and someone says, here, drink this milk, we will not appreciate it. If somebody is very thirsty and someone says, here, drink this petrol, gasoline, or eat something nice, some nice foods, No. He'll only want water. Water has the capacity of satisfying. Therefore, Krishna says, Rasa aham apsu. The taste, the ras in water, that is me. And everyone drinks water. The water that we drink and the satisfaction we get, that is Krishna. So when we eat or drink something, even if it's milk or otherwise, soon as we put the glass to our mouth, we should immediately remember Krishna. And should be thankful to Krishna that you have given us such a precious thing. What it must be like, the water and the air from the spiritual world. He is giving a hint here. So the whole forest is fragrant. In such a Vrindavan forest, the Lord Achyuta, Shri Krishna, the infallible Lord, entered with all his cows and cowherd boyfriends. Shri Krishna, he has used the word Achyuta. The Lord's different names has a lot of importance. Why he has used the word Achyut? Why he didn't say Krishna?
Achyut ka arth hota hai jo apne saundarj se, karuna se, leela vaibhav se.
One Achyuta means one who by his karuna, by his leela vaibhav, by his beauty,
kisi tarah se kabhi chyut nahi hote.
He never becomes chyut. Means fallen, or he does not become chyut from his association of his devotees. He never gives them up, never falls from that. He is achyut. And we are chyutas. Chyuta means today we are young, and tomorrow we'll be old, fallible. And now we may be rich, and tomorrow we may be poor, fallible. Body will also go. Kripa, karuna, daya also can go. We get another body, this, that. Virtutas. We cannot be always the same. Completely opposite to the Lord we are. He's Achyuta and we're Achyutas. We say something today and tomorrow we say something else. The Lord, what he says, he never changes. Name bhakta parashyati. Whatever he says, he sticks by it. Humans or other living entities are called Achyutas, and the Lord Shri Krishna is called Achyuta. He is always one ras. In Sanskrit, in one shloka, it is said, the Mahatmas, whatever they speak from their lotus mouth, their speech is like elephant's tusks. Once they're out, they're out. The elephant's tusk, once it's out, it's always out. You cannot close it in. But a low class person,
उसका वचन कछुआ के सिर जैसा होता
है. A duratma, a low class person, his speech, his words are like the head of a turtle.
कछुआ का मस्तक जैसा, पर भीतर जाता है, पर
बाहर. The turtle's head, it goes in, it goes out. Whereas the tusks, elephant tusks, they're out and then they always stay out. The low class persons, they will say something, they'll promise you something and then they will not do. They'll go back on their words. And then they'll say, yes, I will see, I will try, and then they'll go back on their words. Have you seen turtle's head? Sometimes the turtle pulls his whole head inside his body. We cannot even tell if he has a head. And sometimes he displays his head. So the Durjanas, the bad people, the Duratmas, their vachan, their vani, their words, their promises are like the head of the turtle. Sometimes they will say, they'll promise, yes, 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 I will do. And then they will say, sorry, they will not do. This happened, that happened. But high class people or Mahatmas, their vani, their words, once they speak and that's it. They stick by their words. Bali Maharaj said this same thing to Shukracharya. He said to his Guru Maharaj Shukracharya, if I have told him from my mouth that I will give him in charity, how I can take my words back? Shukracharya then said, then you won't have any wealth left. He will take all of it. Bali Maharaj said, let him take. He'll take all the wealth, but he will not take my kirti. Whatever happens, he takes everything, he takes me, throws me in hell, it is okay. If I have spoken once, given my word, how can I take it back? I'm not worried about my body or my wealth. Even when his guru did not agree, he still gave everything to Vamandev. So the Lord is like this, he always keeps his word. In everything he is achyuta. Strength, wealth, knowledge, beauty. Here in this verse, it is specially spoken for beauty and leela. And he is always joyful and happy. He is never unhappy. The Lord, even if he wants to sometime, that he wants to experience distress, he cannot be. Lord, if sometime he ever desire, I want to also die, he cannot die. Just like we give up our body or the body gives us up. But in the Lord, him and his body, there is no difference. How he'll die? From his toenail to his head is only consciousness. It is not in his destiny to die. He cannot die. Just like the sun god, he can never get darshan of night time. He is such a great person, but he has never met the night time.
जहाँ जाएंगे उस पहले ही करोड़ों कोस में प्रकाश.
Because wherever he goes, for millions of miles, already there is light.
तो भगवान है हमेशा आनंदमय है, कभी दुखी नहीं.
The Lord is always आनंदमय. He can never be unhappy.
व्यक्ति ने हमसे पूछा था, ये इंदौर में पूछा था. पूछा कि महाराज भगवान में सबके.
One person he asked me. He asked me in Indore, I think. He said, Swamiji, God is everyone's father and is most merciful and is all capable, sarvagya. And if he is the father of all the living entities of this world, and if all the living entities are suffering so much, then still why is he always looking happy? We are all suffering so much and he is looking happy. Why he doesn't worry about that? Why he doesn't also cry for us? If he is our father, we see here if somebody is a father, if the child is crying unhappy, then the father becomes unhappy. But if he is the father, why he is not also unhappy if we are unhappy? You are saying that he is the Supreme Lord, he is the father of everyone, he has made the whole world. He knows everything. And he knows everyone's suffering and he knows how to remove their distress. Knowing all this, still he is always happy, enjoying himself, and all his children, all of us are so unhappy. What kind of father, what kind of God is he? I said, whatever it is the Lord's Swaroop to be always in Ananda. He will always be in Ananda, whether the whole world is crying, suffering. He cannot be. That's how he is. He is Ananda. This is actually his Swaroop. And another thing is, if the Lord sees all the suffering of the living entity and he also becomes like that, if he also becomes suffering like them, then who will take shelter of him? One has to take shelter of that personality who is never suffering, who has unlimited opulence, unlimited ananda. And suppose you want to go beg someone for some money and you go to his house, you're crying and you see that he is also crying. How you'll take shelter of him? If he himself is suffering, Lord is never in the suffering mood. He is always waiting, someone should come and take my shelter and become happy. He's ready, ye yatha mam prapadyante, he says. This is his nature. He is always in Ananda. And whoever comes in his shelter, he also becomes Anandamay. He becomes happy. So I asked this man, so what do you think? You think that if you are suffering, Krishna should also suffer? He should also sit down and cry. If he also does that, then where the living entities will go for shelter? At least the person whose bhajan we're doing, he should be happy. So the Lord is always in Ananda, he is Achyuta. So this such Achyuta, Sahagopala, with all the Gopalas and cows, he entered the Vrindavan forest. In the previously in the summer season, Krishna entering the Vrindavan forest was described, and then in the rainy season, Krishna entering the Vrindavan forest was described, and now in the fall or the autumn season, Krishna entering the Vrindavan forest is being described.
Bhagavan pravesh kar rahe.
Lord is entering.
Puna ab leela ka varnan kar rahe.
Now again he is describing the leelas.
Vanaraji susmi bringa
dvija. Text number 2.
Tasaraha sarin mahidram.
Chapter 21.
Pati ravaga yacharayanga sah pasupal valaschu kuja venum. सह पशुपाल बलह वन में बांसुरी वादन कर रहे हैं बिहार का इसका वर्णन करते हैं सह पशुपाल बलह
इन द लास्ट लाइन सह पशुपाल बलह सह मीन्स विद पशु एंड पशुपाल एंड बला विद द बॉयफ्रेंड काउहर्ड बॉयफ्रेंड्स काउस एंड बला लॉर्ड बलराम ही एंटर्ड
बलराम के साथ
Sri Krishna in the forest, he's playing his flute. Gopal or Pashupal has both the same meaning.
Pashupal matlab gauon ka palan karne wale, gop aur balaram. In sabke saath madhupati Sri Krishna gaacharayan karna prarambh.
He began to vibrate his flute. He is describing the forest. All the lakes, all the trees are flowering. And on those flowers, the maddened bees and flocks of birds are moving about on those flowers. Wherever he is moving, there are flowering trees, and on the flowering trees there are maddened bees and birds. Birds and are sitting. And the bees are buzzing around the flowers, and the birds are singing. And the sound of his flute is reflecting from the lakes, rivers, and the hills of Vrindavan. Also, the sounds of the maddened bees and the birds are reflecting from the lakes, rivers, and hills of Vrindavan. In this way, there is echoing from the birds' sounds. First of all, these flowering trees and bees and birds are everywhere. And they're all singing and humming, and their sounds are echoing from the lakes, rivers, and the hills. So the sound is increasing all over the forest. These sounds of the birds, especially. These days, in the big cities now, you don't hear anything except the sounds of the cars and the trucks. And to prevent the sounds too much, they have made these very huge thick walls on the sides of the freeways. It must be very loud sounds, that's why they have made these walls. Because people do not enjoy hearing those sounds. But in Vrindavan, there's always these very enjoyable sounds of the birds, etc., and the bees. In the company of his friends and Balram, Madhupati, he's playing his flute, and all the cows are eating this very herding the very soft grasses everywhere. Just like when somebody enters the water to enjoy and they go here and there and move about, Krishna is entering the forest and he's moving with his flute and his friends and cows here and there and looking at everything and understanding the loving feelings of everyone. The words Chukuj Venum, that he very skillfully blended the sound of his flute with the Vrindavan's multicolored birds. All the friends and Gopal Sakhas are surrounding him, and Krishna says, now I want to play my flute. And he stands against a tree with his three bending form. He always plays his flute, but in this autumn season, on the first day, he started playing flute in a very special way. And everyone's watching him. Even the cows and etc., they look like they froze and they're listening. On that day, he is playing a song on his flute to invite the gopis to win their hearts. Some gopis who consider Krishna to be their beloved, that kind of affection for Krishna, the women of Braj, in which Sri Radha is the main, such gopis, they heard this song that Krishna was playing on his flute. Where they heard this word in text 3, Brajas, Brajastriya means these istriyas, these istris, these women were in Braj. Sri Krishna had come to the forest. For them, each moment was like millions of yugas. They were feeling separation from Krishna when he goes to the forest. So to give them some comfort, he was singing this flute for them. Actually, the sound of this flute, everyone was hearing, but especially he was playing for the Braj Gopis. So these women, the ladies in the cowherd village, Ashrutya, they were hearing. What kind of Gita? Venu Gitam. Venu Git means the song sung by the flute. Sri Krishna sang Venu Git, that means through his flute, he sang a song. The song is understood only by the gopis, the meaning of the song. Just like when somebody plays the harmonium keys, harmonium is not singing, but sound is coming from the harmonium. And the person, when he sings, it has a meaning. So, So the flute sang a song. That means just like as gopis were feeling separation from Krishna, Krishna was understanding their separation for him. This is their interchangeable relation or reciprocation. Venu Geet means Shri Krishna sings in the flute. But in this chapter, the Venu Geet means the gopis singing a song on the topic of the flute. That is called Venu Geet.
Shri Krishna Basri mein ga rahe hain aur Shri Krishna ke vishay mein aur us Venu ke vishay mein gopiyon ne jo aapas mein baat chit kiya hai usko Venu Geet kaha gaya.
Shri Krishna is singing in the flute on the topic of the flute, the song sung by the gopis. That's called Venu Geet.
Shri Krishna Basri mein ga rahe hain aur Shri Krishna ke vishay mein
Shri Krishna is singing in the flute. On the topic of the flute and on topic of Krishna, what the gopis are talking amongst themselves, that is the song. It does not mean what Krishna sang in the flute.
Satnarayan Bhagavan ke katha ke saman kuch pata nahi hai ki Krishna bansuri mein kya gaye.
Just like people hear the Satyanarayan Katha, one cannot understand what Krishna sang in the flute. That gopis know what he sang. When they heard the Krishna's flute and what Krishna, when they heard the flute played by Krishna and what gopis have talked amongst themselves about Krishna and his flute, that is called Gopi Geet. And we, if we describe that is also Venu Geet. In other words, whatever is spoken or glorified on the topic of Venu Geet or the Venu, that is also Venu Geet. This Venu Geet we do not hear from Krishna's mouth. We are hearing from the mouths of gopis. This is the adbhut, amazing style of Srimad Bhagavatam. People say Venu Geet, so what did Krishna sing in his flute? We cannot understand that Geet. But what we can understand, it says Brajasriya, in text 3, Brajasriya tad ashrutya. That Braj Sri Radhas and other Sris, women, they heard this. And after hearing, Krishnasya Paroksham, Paroksham means privately, they all started to describe to each other, to their intimate companions, the gopis. Swasakhi. Swasakhi means in each group of sakhis, they started to speak to one another, their intimate companions in their groups. they started to describe what the song is speaking to them. In Braj, different sakhis have their different groups. Like Sri Radha has one group with Lalita Vishakha. And one group is that of Chandravali.
तो चंद्रावली जी के जूथ में भी उनके उनके दल की बहुत सी सखियां हैं।
In Chandravali, in her group, she has many sakhis.
प्रधान प्रधान उनकी भी 8 सखियां
हैं। She also has main 8 सखीज।
राधा रानी की भी प्रधान प्रधान 8 सखी।
And Radha Rani also has 8 main सखीज।
तो इन सब के अलग अलग जूथ हैं।
And they all have their own groups.
अपने प्राण सखी से, अपने अपने विश्वास पात्र से,
and each one to their most intimate companion, they started to talk about Krishna's flute song. Sukadev Goswami is speaking the complete katha very clearly. What was that song like? He is saying Smara Udaya. Smara is a very important word in Sanskrit. Smara means Cupid. The Krishna was playing so sweetly, and it was the song was so intoxicating that in the sakhis, Radha Rani and his other sakhis, they were experiencing the force of Cupid. Agitated by the force of Cupid. We should hear this very carefully. What does this mean? Cupid or Kaam. We should understand this very clearly. In the material world, Cupid or lust or Kaam is the attraction of the opposite sex in this world. It's called Smar.
गोपियों का जो श्री कृष्ण के प्रति प्रेम है,
but the love of the gopis for Sri Krishna,
कृष्ण को सुखी करने की जो भावना है,
their feeling to make Krishna happy,
विद्वानों ने काम शब्द कह करके प्रचार किया है, ये प्रथा,
that the learned persons have called the word काम in the spiritual sense,
प्रथा, यही प्रथा है.
This is in the spiritual sense, the prem, the love is called kaam.
जैसे माँ जसोदा श्री कृष्ण से प्रेम करती हैं, तो कृष्ण एक व्यक्ति
है. Just like Mother Yashoda, she loves Krishna, and Krishna is a person.
माँ जसोदा का जो उनके प्रति प्रेम है, सेवा की भावना है, उसको वात्सल्य कहते
हैं. And the loving feeling that she has for her son Krishna is called Vatsalya.
तो उसी कृष्ण को जब सुख देने की वासना गोपियों में होती है, तो गोपियों को उस प्रेम को काम कहा.
And the same happiness that when the gopis want to give to Krishna, that is called काम.
जैसा शास्त्रों को समझने की परिपाटी है, उसके अनुसार समझना चाहिए.
What the scriptures are trying to explain to us, we should understand in that way.
और शब्द भी ऐसे दिए गए हैं कि उसका अर्थ प्रेम होगा. स्मर का अर्थ होता है.
And the words are described, given that mean प्रेम.
और काम का अर्थ होता है कामना.
Because स्मर means स्मरण, to remember. And काम means कामना, desire.
उसका प्रेम है, उसमें कभी कंदर्प शब्द का
The gopis' love for Krishna, they have never used the word kandarpa. They have used the word rati pati. Mahabhav. Rati pati does not mean the husband of the woman called rati. So in this way the words are kept. That by hearing, their love increased. In text 4, Sukadev Goswami says, "Hey Maharaj Parikshit, the cowherd girls began to speak about Krishna, and as soon as they heard this, they remembered his activities. They wanted to talk to one another about Krishna, his activities, but by hearing his flute, their love came out for Krishna that their mind became disturbed and they could not speak. They wanted to speak something about that song, about Krishna, but no words would come out. They were remembering his beauty, his walk, his gait. They became so disturbed by their overflowing of their love in their heart for Krishna that although they wanted to describe his activities, his beauty, but they could not speak. This was the effect of Venu Geet. Their voice was choked, eyes were watering, tears. Not just they were choking, totally lost their sense of speaking. So much love. What was Krishna Cheshtitam, what was it that they wanted to describe about Krishna that they couldn't? This question is asked by Parikshit Maharaj. What was that beauty, what was that form that they were thinking that they could not speak? What was that leela that was taking over their hearts, due to which they could not speak? Maharaj Parikshit wants to know. So this is the most famous shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 5. Sukadev Goswami is speaking, this roop, this form, this beauty of Sri Krishna. Again and again the gopis were remembering, and for this reason they could not speak. Text 5. That form which disturbed their minds. Here he is, Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami is describing that form of Krishna's. He is starting the description from his lotus head. Krishna is vibrating his flute and he is entering with his friends and cows in Vrindavan. How does he look? Varha Pidam. Varha's apid he has on his head. Varha means a peacock feather. on his head.
Mayur Pucham or Apidam Karta Siro Bhusana Mukutam. Mur Mukute Dharan.
He is wearing peacock feather on his head. In Vrindavan he does not wear a golden mukut on his head. Why he would carry so much weight on his head? Sometimes I see Lord Vishnu is wearing such a heavy, long mukut on his head with so many gems. In Vrindavan, Sri Krishna does not carry the load of all these gold and gems. Varaha Pidam.
Bhagavan ka sringar bhi bahut adhik nahi karna chahiye. Nahi to kaha jayega jaise kisi kamini ke kisi stri ke sharir.
Lord's decoration should not be done also too much.
Sringar kar de usko chala hi na jaye.
It's just like they say. It is said that if you decorate a beautiful woman with so much jewelry, that so much load her up so much that she cannot even walk, her arms are so heavy she cannot lift her hand, and the whole body is all tied up. We should not load up Krishna with decoration so much. Very heavy mukut, so much jewelry. Krishna is so beautiful that to make him beautiful, the jewels, they don't make Krishna beautiful, but rather Krishna makes all this jewelry more beautiful. Shri Krishna's anga is Bhushana Bhushan, is the jewel of the jewelry. They make the jewelry more beautiful, and other people in the world, they wear jewelry to make themselves look beautiful. And when we put jewelry on Krishna, he is so beautiful that because of his beauty, the jewelry starts to look beautiful. He is so beautiful. So this apid, his barha, the peacock feather is his decoration on the head. Shri Gopijan, remembering this, his beautiful peacock feather swaying in the breeze on his head.
Natavar Vapuhu Varaha Pidam Natavar Vapu.
And Natavar Vapu? Vapu, what kind of Vapu does he have? Transcendental body, Natvar. He is the best of the dancers. When Krishna has entered this forest, he has entered in just like the best of the dancers. He is dancing. He is dancing and singing. It's not that like one day Krishna got a fever and he's quietly sitting down. He's always dancing. Singing, dancing, he enters. He looks so beautiful that he looks like a groom. You see, when in India, when a groom is going to get married, he has all these decorations on his head.
Yes,
very beautiful mukut. These days people wear pants, shirt. Even one day in their life they cannot have a proper singar.
Ek din bhi nahi. Lekin bhagwas mein abhi bhi hai ki dulha
But in India, even today, they decorate his head with a mukut. And for him, there is dancing and singing. For one day, he is a king. And in his in-laws, he gets a lot of money. When he goes to his in-laws' house after the wedding, and they sit down to eat, he would not eat. And then they have to please him, they ask him, what do you want, and he can ask for anything he wants, and they give him, and then he'll eat. So much he has, like a king for that day. But next day if he goes, maybe he'll have to pay to eat. And then one day may come that they have to give him money to eat. There is still that culture in India. One time, one devotee from the West, he came with me to my village. My family people, they sat him down, they fed him. And after that, they gave him dakshina. And he said he had never seen before that somebody will feed you and then give money. And he tells me this is an amazing country that because you eat in their house, they give you money. Generally it's the rule that if you eat, you have to pay. But this is the culture in India. That somebody comes to our house, he's a guest, some sadhu, mahatma, some guest, he will take prasad and he will get some money. This is a very advanced culture. Actually, we should protect this culture. This is not found anywhere else in the world. Especially I was saying that because the day that a boy is a groom and he wears a mukut, and he goes to his in-law's house, he is given so much respect. So here Shri Krishna is entering Vrindavan. Gopis are feeling as if a groom is entering Vrindavan. And they're also feeling so distressed that such a beautiful form of Krishna we are not able to see. We are bound by our family custom. We have to be in the house. We are not free like the boys that we can go in the forest and gaze at them, at him. So they're remembering. Natvar Vapu, most beautiful body, and also like Nat means a dancer, and Var like a groom, and Karnayo Karni Karam, on both his ears is the flowers called Karni Kar. He has two ears. Karnikar is singular, Karnayo is plural. Two ears, Karnikar, the flower Karnikar. That flower is blue in color. All his limbs are so beautiful, and on his beautiful limbs, that flower Karnikar is looking very beautiful. On both his ears, he has one Karnikar flower. Sometime on this year, sometime on that year. This is Krishna's form. He is Param Sundar. Most beautiful. And he loves to get dressed like that. He is famous. He is always in Ananda. And he is always changing. Sometimes he gets a new flower and he puts that on the ear. It's like we've seen sometimes in India, people that write, sometimes they put their pen or pencil on their ear. The Lord never wears glasses, never wears anything on his nose like that. But these days you see little kids also wearing glasses. I don't know what is in Sanskrit for glasses. Actually, there is no name in Sanskrit for glasses. If there was, then maybe Gandhari would not tie her eyes with the cloth. She might have worn dark color glasses, perhaps. One time I had said in a class that the Lord does not wear glasses. Then those people that wore glasses, they were very upset with me. Somebody came with a complaint. Maharaj, you should not speak like that. What can I say? I'm remembering all the things Krishna wears. He wears mukut, karnikar, vajanti mala. But then they complain, it doesn't say here that Krishna doesn't wear glasses. Why did you have to add that? They were very upset. Why don't you just say what it says in the verse that he wears peacock feather, karnikar, vajanti mala? You had no need to say that he doesn't wear glasses. Whatever it is, sometimes we have to sometimes speak something negative to understand the positive, to really understand. Sri Krishna, in this way, he is wearing Karnika flower on his ear. Why I remember this? Because he wears this flower on his ear and we wear this glasses, the stick on our ears. The frame of the glasses on our ears. So that came to my mind. That's why I said. But Krishna keeps the flower on his ear.